The Athletic.
Starcast, the German football pod brought to you by The Athletic. Today, it's a special Nationalmannschaft edition. As Germany win big against Iceland and not so big against Romania, we wonder whether Joachim Löw will end up smelling of roses on his farewell tour after all. And there's also time to talk about the debut of Uli Hoeneß as a football pundit, as well as the German FA's latest marketing own goal. All of this and not much more on Starcast with Christoph Biermann. Hello, dear listener. Hello, Christoph. Before we get going, here's a quick reminder that The Athletic is currently available for just £3.99 a month for 6 months. Go to theathletic.com/starcastpod to sign up. Hey, Christoph. I mean, usually we wouldn't talk about the German national team, let alone German national team playing against a mighty Romania and Iceland. It does feel important, though, because these are the opening games of the Joachim Löw farewell tour. How has it been for you?
They all look refreshed and relieved, and especially Löw looks like a happy man. That's at least my impression. When you think about how frustrated everybody was after Spain, after this historic, terrible 6-0 defeat. And you look at them now, it's like the whole world has changed in the meantime, with him saying that at the end of the Euro, he will be gone. And so it also makes the impression as if the players want to give him a great farewell with a big Euro. And in the preparation of it, everybody is not only playing to the rules, but everybody is trying their best. So yeah, there is overall a surprisingly positive atmosphere that comes over at last.
I agree. That was very noticeable. I think there's a lot of goodwill now all of a sudden, especially towards Joachim Löw, who I think even his fiercest critics feel deserves a happy end to his tenure. And there's no need to bay for the blood because he's already gone anyway. So why give him a hard time? How's the team, though, responded, do you think? I mean, I felt that, first of all, of course, the opposition was pretty mediocre, perhaps even worse in the case of Iceland. But the fact that he had a settled starting 11, the fact that he had stopped his weird experiments with man marking in midfield and counter-attacking and playing three at the back or five and went to a pretty box standard 4-3-3 helped the team find a bit of rhythm and a bit of a sense of identity and back to that dominant possession-based football that really lies at the heart of Germany's success over the last decade.
So there were at least some new elements. If you think of Antonio Rudiger's long ball behind the Romanian defense that preceded the only goal in Bucharest, that was pretty interesting. But yes, you're right. He was. It's the end of the experiments. Maybe there were too many experiments. Maybe to an extent they were necessary. But yes, now it's a more practical approach. That is my impression. So we're heading towards the Euros. We have to qualify for the World Cup, and so we try to do what we can do best. And here we go.
Let's talk about the positives first. I thought that the combination play, especially midfield between Goretzka, Kimmich and Gundogan, looked really good. They combine very well. They complement each other well. You have Kimmich, who is the number six, and you have Goretzka, who's the number eight, and you have Gundogan, who's sort of between an eight and a 10, all really working well together. The front three looked pretty good as well, especially I thought Leroy Sané had a couple of really decent games, by and large. At the same time, does it bring into sharp relief once more that Germany has a big problem? And the problem is that there's no Philipp Lahm anymore.
But that's an unfair complaint, isn't it? So one day Poland will say, hey, guys, you don't have a Lewandowski anymore.
Or yeah, Spain. It's true, but we just need one right back. You know, give England have five or six. Just give us one of them.
Okay.
I mean, Emre Can playing on the left did okay.
Yes.
Marcel Halstenberg on the right did okay.
Lukas Klostermann it was.
But
it's
right.
A typical confusion because they merge almost in one person. So it's very, very difficult to distinguish the two.
Yeah, I'm not sure I could point them out in an identity parade, you know, who's who. No, you're right. So those two guys in the fullback positions offering a lot of defensive solidity, good aerial height, you know, all the kind of stuff that you'd want in a tournament, but going forward, fairly limited. Is that probably Germany's biggest issue at this point?
Yeah, I'm also not the happiest person if I see Matthias Ginter as a central defender, I would add. And so, yeah, there are some issues, especially concerning defense. Maybe it will be better with Halstenberg on the left. There is this option of Philipp Max, but it was telling that Joachim Löw didn't even bring him on as a substitute for Emre Can. And yeah, there is Mats Hummel in waiting for a central defense. Süle was out injured. So there are some options, but if you look at the on the strengths and weaknesses of this team, I think the weakness is surely in the defensive, a third of the and maybe still there is a center forward missing. The solution were interesting and it worked, how they played against two teams that were almost parking the bus. Germany mostly didn't try to work with crosses because there was nobody there to take these crosses. So they very often were looking their way through the middle and successfully, especially against Iceland. But there is a way to go to become a real competitor for bigger things at the Euro.
And you're mentioning the lack of a striker. I mean, it's interesting to see Timo Werner not start either of those games. Mm-hmm. Kai Havertz starting in the false nine position instead. Now, Joachim Löw was basically saying Havertz needs more space against these sort of teams. You'd need somebody who's a bit more technical to play between the lines. I understand all these things. The question is, at the same time, if Werner can't play against Iceland or Romania, does that mean he's not going to start the Euros either against France and Portugal? Or will Löw think, oh, we can then play on the break, then we will play Timo Werner? I mean, it did feel like a bit of a warning to him to maybe improve or adapt his game if possible.
I think both is true. I think it's a bit of a warning to say, hey, your game isn't at the standard it can be right now. But on the other hand side, I think it's for Werner is matches against France, Portugal, Spain, whatever, suit him better because he needs a bit of space to develop his pace, counter-attacking football. I think it's better for him instead of playing against opponents who were not only parking one bus, but in both cases, Romania and Iceland, you had the impression they brought two or so. So it's you only have had very narrow spaces, and I found they created a lot of opportunities, especially against Romania, in this tiny spaces, but in an almost frustrating way, did not convert them.
So if we'd sum up the first couple of games, we see that there's a bit of progress being made, that Germany have maybe found an end of these experiments and found a bit of an identity again, at least in those type of games. They might still need that second plan, more reactive plan when it comes to the better teams. And it'd be interesting to see when, if at all, Löw wants to practice that, because there isn't really any time to do so, at least not at competitive level. So they'll have to go from Romania, Iceland, Northern Macedonia, basically straight to Portugal, France, and then Hungary, if the Hungary game still is relevant. No, I'm sure it will be. I hope so anyway. Let's talk a little bit before we go about the wider issues. It was quite interesting to see Uli Hoeneß, the former Bayern president, now Bayern honorary president, moonlighting as a TV pundit for German television. He didn't really have that much to say about the games, apart from being, generally speaking, fairly complimentary with the team's ambition and attitude and general application, but then did use his platform to have a pretty big go at the German FA. Mm-hmm. And it wouldn't be Uli Hoeneß if he didn't just have, if he didn't come with some very practical ideas. And one of them was to send Karl-Heinz Rummenigge on behalf of FC Bayern. Oh no, on behalf of the German FA, he corrected himself. To represent at the UEFA and FIFA level instead of the German FA representatives, who he doesn't rate very highly. Why do you think Uli Hoeneß is getting involved now in this political sense? And what is happening with the German FA? Is it conceivable that these changes will happen, that there'd be sort of a massive overhaul, not just at sporting level, but also upstairs?
I wouldn't expect this, but I also found it interesting. It's sometimes difficult to read Uli Hoeneß, as loud as he is, what his real intentions are. Maybe he would be happy to see Karl-Heinz Rummenigge off, not hanging around at Bayern too much when his job as a CEO at Bayern is finished. So send him away to FIFA and UEFA so he is not in Munich too much. Maybe that's one of the ideas. Maybe it's on a very emotional level. It's at that Hoeneß is frustrated with the situation at the German FA. So most of the people from professional football support Fritz Keller, the president of the federation, who is in a very complicated power struggle with other forces within the FA, and it's basically a conflict with a long tradition that maybe you can give it the headline professional versus amateurs, and so Fritz Keller is seen as the guy who comes from the professional side of football. He has been the president of SC Freiburg for many years, and so maybe we shouldn't read too much into it, and more these sketches I try to give here. But at least it will be interesting to see what's going to happen at the FA in recent months, because that is a endurable situation for everybody. I mean, this is going on for too long now. The conflict is especially between Friedrich Curtius, the general secretary of the German FA, and Fritz Keller. That is, that has to be solved and stopped, and sooner, not later. And maybe that also was something that Fritz Keller had in mind to put some pressure on the FA to do their homework.
Uli Hoeneß, you mean?
Uli Hoeneß, yeah, sorry. Yeah.
Okay, and finally, pressure is maybe the right word. We saw the German players demonstrating for human rights before the game against Iceland, and then in a slightly more obscure way with numbers that refer to the 30 human rights articles for Amnesty in the second game as well. This seemed like a genuine and quite moving action that came from within the team rather than the German FA, but then the German FA, in almost typical fashion, managed to completely undermine all the genuine sentiment, if there was one, and I feel there was, by releasing this making off video that showed the players applying the letters sort of in slow motion, very kind of heroically, and then hashtagging it human rights. I mean, who comes up with such an idea and couldn't have thought it through a little bit more? Christoph, please tell me.
If it wasn't Oliver Bierhoff, it's in the spirit of Oliver Bierhoff, because he is big in marketing and thinking in brands. And so everything that has been happening around the German national team had to do with some kind of creating a brand identity. And you do this kind of stuff if you want to work on your brand. But it wasn't about a brand. It was about, as you said, a genuine sentiment, because I think a very good sign. We all so often complain of players being immature in many aspects, and then they come out with this because it's working in them. They think about it, obviously discuss about it, talk about it, what they can do. And then you put it in this German national team, die Mannschaft, blah, 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 branding context. And I totally agree with you. It was deeply frustrating to see it. What else can we see? And that's also deep at the heart of many problems a lot of German football supporters nowadays have with the national team, because it's over-branded and over-marketed and so on.
Well, at least they play half-decent football these days again. So again, that's something. Thank you very much, Christoph, for coming up on this special Starcast bonus edition. We'll speak to you again on Monday after the big one, Leipzig against Bayern. Until then, take care. Bye-bye. The Athletic.